Hello and welcome to Fusion, a show for Relay FM members where I talk to hosts from various shows about a single topic. My name is Stephen Hackett, and this month I'm joined by Dan Morin of Clockwise and Six Colors, and Casey Liss from Analog and ATP to talk about the newly announced iPhone 12. I should say iPhone 12 family. There's a lot of phones
Tribe? I don't know what the right word is. There are a lot. Yeah.
there are a lot of phones. So I'd say let's just go from smallest to biggest. Now, we don't have to recap the news. I think by this point, people who our Relay FM members definitely know the news and the specs and everything. Let's talk some about kind of how we feel about this. So let's start with the 12 mini, which is basically just a shrunken iPhone 12. What do y'all think about this? It was rumored, and I had trouble believing it would be exactly the same phone, but sure enough it is.
Yeah, you know, so this is the roughly iPhone 5/iPhone SE size. Is that correct?
It's small. It's bigger than the iPhone 5, iPhone SE, but smaller than the second generation SE slash, you know, 6, 7, 8. Somewhere in the middle.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so I think that if it had all three, so to speak, cameras, I would be super interested in this phone. I've convinced myself, maybe fairly, maybe unfairly, that I really do use all three cameras on my 11 Pro. And because of that, I don't really want to give up any of them because I do use the telephoto, I do use the wide angle, and I certainly use the whatever the standard one is. But if it weren't for that, holy smokes, would I be interested in this 12, because for the first time in forever, there's really no tremendous drawbacks to this phone. I mean, you can make an argument that the smaller screen is a drawback or a benefit, but, you know, every time I hold one of the older flat-sided phones, which of course is true across the line, but when I hold one of these older, smaller flat-sided phones, it feels so good in my hand, and I would be so much more interested in this if it had all three cameras. And I understand why it doesn't, but it is a really compelling phone that I would without reservation recommend to almost anybody. I don't know, Dan, what do you think?
It sounds like you're in the market for an iPhone 13 Pro Mini, Casey, is what I think you want next year. No, I'm totally with you. Like, you know, we've all, I think, to a certain degree, decried the fact that Apple seemed to be focused on making phones bigger and bigger, and that seems to be the smartphone market in general, not just Apple, right? Everybody wants the giant screen, supposedly. But I think there was a growing loud segment that was like, why are these phones so big? I can't fit them in my pocket. I can't hold them in my hand. I can't reach the whole screen when I'm holding it with one hand. And I think listening to that was a great move, putting it in their, you know, primary lineup as a, like you said, it's not a device with a lot of compromises. I will say the other thing that has been floated is the battery does seem like it's probably smaller, which also makes sense given that it's a smaller phone. But it's, I think, a good move on Apple's part because it provides a lineup with a lot of continuity going from that super small phone all the way up to the Pro Max. And in many ways, I'd say it's a superior, you know, solution to the iPad line by comparison, where the Mini feels like an afterthought that's thrown in to appease people who want a smaller iPad, but it's generally not competitive with the stuff at the higher end of the lineup, whereas you're right. Without the camera system, really, like, there aren't a ton of sacrifices here, and I'm with you. I strongly would consider this, but I, you know, being on the Pro line already, it is hard to give up something you already have, and sort of take those compromises.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to feel that sort of tension between maybe they already have a Pro. Like, I'm on the 11 Pro, so the small Pro this year, and looking at this and wanting to go smaller. But I think this phone is maybe for people who are still holding on to a 7 or an 8 and don't want to go really any bigger. In a sense, it really makes me think about the first iPhone SE, because it came out with the mid-cycle and the iPhone 6S, and it had the iPhone 6S guts and a better camera and stuff, but it was more sort of modern than I think the current iPhone SE is, because the design change is such a big difference. And this kind of brings, hey, if you want a smaller phone but you want things like Face ID or two cameras, this is now for you. It was funny, my wife has the current iPhone SE, which she went to begrudgingly, because her first iPhone SE, she held on for a really long time, and then had an 8, and then I got her this one. And so last night I showed her like the compare page, like showing like, hey, this new 12 mini is smaller than your current SE. And she's all about as small of a phone as possible. And she's like, well, I want Touch ID, especially now that we have to wear masks. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. yeah, they didn't do that this year. Like, that's a real bummer.
I would consider, my mom is still on an original SE, and I would strongly consider the 12 mini for her. But even that, I will see. She's very attached to the original SE. But sooner or later, it's going to die.
Yeah, or just fall out of software updates.
Yeah, exactly.
So moving up one rung to the regular iPhone 12. Again, it has the mini are the same specs. I'm really excited that OLED made it to the standard phone this year. Yeah. I didn't really foresee that happening, but they were able to do that, which meant they could bring in those smaller bezels, which I think look better with the flat sides. The 12, it seems like a great phone. I mean, the 11 is already a good phone. This does start $100 more. The iPhone 12 mini takes over the old $699 price point, but you get the OLED display, you get the better cameras, you get MagSafe. Like, it seems like yet again, like the 12 is kind of the default phone. Do y'all tend to agree with that?
It's interesting to see how Apple's positioning. You know, in some senses, if it were just three phones, you could see that it would be like a size thing, right? Like, you got the mini, you got the standard quote unquote size, and then you have like the max. But because it's positioned the 12 and the 12 Pro at the same size, then that's like, I think, where the stickiest decision comes for some people, because it's like, well, I know if I want a smaller phone, I get the mini. I know if I want a bigger phone, I get the max. So what about these two in the middle here? And I think then it comes down to stuff like the camera. And I'm impressed, as we just spoke about with the mini, that so much of what is great in the iPhone 12 Pro is also in the iPhone 12. Apple seems to really be trying to draw kind of a bright line in a lot of ways between, like, this is purely a feature and price distinction, right? You go up, was it like 100, 200 bucks? And it's like, now you get better camera, you get the additional, the telephoto, etc. You get the LiDAR. And I feel like that is I think it's an easier decision for some people, because I know a lot of people will look at LiDAR on the Pro and be like, I don't know what that does for me. I'm just going to get the cheaper phone. And I think the 12 is still a great phone, right? Like, there's nothing there that I feel like you're really making a ton of sacrifices, especially if you're coming from an 11 or something pre-11. You know, I don't see any reason that you wouldn't strongly consider the 12. It definitely does not feel like, well, we cut some corners to get a cheaper price point. It still feels like a premium phone.
Yeah, you can say they rounded the corners.
Yeah. Chamfered it. Chamfered the edges, rounded the corners.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of people's first experience with an OLED iPhone, too, right? Because it's only been on the 10 and then the Pros. And so I think people, coming from maybe like a 10R or something, if you're kind of on that every other year cycle, I think you're going to be really happy with this phone. I've got a lot of people sort of, you know, like we all do, right? We're all the people, even everyone listening to this, we're all the people in like our family and friend circles who like get asked what phone to buy, right? It's already started for me. It started while the event was still going on.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I will add, the one thing that does make me sad is and again, not having seen any of these in person, I feel like I like the colors on the 12 and 12 mini better than on the Pro line, but
yeah, dude, that mint green is calling my name.
It looks really good. I ordered a Pacific Blue, Pro, and even the Blue 12, I'm like, I don't know. I kind of like the saturation, and I don't know. It's interesting they've divided that up. Casey, you got any thoughts on the 12?
It's tough because you can't go wrong with this line. I was thinking that what you had said earlier, Dan, really, really makes sense. And the one thing that I've taken away from this event since yesterday is I really feel like this is almost the perfect iPhone lineup, insofar as there's very little distinction between the devices. And I mean that as a good thing, not a bad thing. And where the distinctions happen, for the most part, I think they make perfect sense. And you have a lineup. None of these phones have particularly old guts. Most of them, particularly the iPhone 12 line, have brand new guts. The 12 line specifically has 5G across the board. It has mostly the same camera systems, obviously with some exceptions. But, even from the SE all the way to the 12 Pro Max, it is a extremely compelling lineup with almost no gotchas anywhere. And if we have enough time, I know you said you wanted to keep the show to half an hour, so I'm not sure that's enough for me, but I'm going to whine later about the Pro Max getting the better camera again. But with that aside, there's so little to complain about here. And it is, since I've been paying close attention to Apple, which was shortly after the iPhone came out, it's possibly the best iPhone lineup from top to bottom, soup to nuts, that I think I've ever seen. And I think the 12 is everything you guys just said. It is the perfect default phone. And I don't mean that in a derisive way. That's not a bad thing at all. It's a great thing that if you're not really sure what you want one way or the other, you just want a phone that's kind of big but not huge. You want a phone that's really great, that has the MagSafe, that has the 5G. Get the 12. Like, it's got OLED. It's got most of the stuff you missed out on last year. It's great. So definitely it's the perfect starting point.
We haven't talked about 5G yet. Verizon was all over this.
You want to spend some time? Gosh. You want to spend 10, 20 minutes talking about 5G? Is that
sort of yelling at the camera about Verizon's 5G network? I mean, I'm sure there's political reasons they had to do that. I am very curious, a month from now or 2 months from now, when all these phones are kind of finally in our hands, what 5G means day to day. And I think there's something really telling about it in the software. And Apple talked about this, where these phones are going to use LTE, you know, 4G LTE, and then flip over to 5G when the phone decides that it's needed. So you're downloading a big app, or you're trying to upload a video or something like that. But it's just when it's in your pocket doing stuff in the background, or maybe even when you're doing social media or iMessage or something, the phone's going to be on LTE at least part of the time. We don't really know what those trigger points are for when the phone will switch over to 5G. But I think the fact that Apple's doing that definitely still says something about battery life in 5G, and that maybe it's not completely ready yet. And I'm very curious to see how this goes. When Apple went to 3G 10 years ago, everyone was already on 3G, right? The first iPhone was on Edge, and it was old at that point. And I don't know if y'all remember Edge.
Oh yeah,
it was not good, guys. Nope. It was not good at all. And they joined the rest of the industry on 3G. And the same thing, I think to a lesser degree, with 4G LTE, they did that after a lot of players had done it. They were a little bit earlier. And now this time, in the Android world, everything Samsung has released this year is 5G. The Pixel that was just announced a couple weeks ago is 5G. And now Apple's doing it, but it feels like the hardware has outpaced the network. So I'm very curious to see how this goes. And it's really going to vary depending on where you live. You know, with Verizon in particular, they have the millimeter wave, which if you haven't seen in the product shots, there's a weird kind of cutout in the side of the iPhones just in the US. And it looks like the window for the charging of the Pencil 2 on the iPad Pros. And it's for the millimeter wave antenna. So, you know, don't touch it there, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, don't hold it wrong.
You're 5G-ing it wrong. Yeah, so anyways, we're just going to have to see how this goes. But they all have it, which one of the rumors was that maybe 5G would just be on the Pros and the regular 12 wouldn't get it. But they were able to get it in all the phones, including the Mini, which Apple says is the smallest, lightest, and thinnest 5G smartphone, which is a very Apple tight move to lump all those things together. So very curious to see how that plays out.
You know, the thing with 5G is that I live in a suburb of a kind of ish large city, but the entire greater Richmond, Virginia metro area is like 1.5 million people. So we are nowhere near the top of the list to get 5G. And the thing that struck me about this event, other than the tie-ins with Verizon getting ever more nauseating with each passing moment. But besides that, I feel like for the first time since like 2010 or thereabouts, I'm feeling a little crummy about being on AT&T, because whenever it was, I don't remember, it was like 2010-ish, AT&T finally got their ball, you know, got their act together, and it started to work most everywhere. And for the first couple of years, I had an iPhone because I got the 3GS, I believe was my first iPhone, and that was like 2008-ish. For the first couple of years, it was awful. Like, all the rumors about how bad AT&T was, they were real. Like, it stank. And then after a couple of years, it was fine. And now, for the first time, I'm like, oh, right, AT&T, it did it again. It's trash again. And I'm trying to look at their coverage map, and it's not working for me right now.
I'm doing the same exact thing, Casey. I had the same problem.
Oh, okay, good. Okay. But last I looked, like a week or two ago, it was in a bunch of places kind of nearish to me. So I'm only a couple hours from Washington, D.C., and like an hour away from, you know, an hour between. So an hour up toward D.C., an hour below D.C. Anyways, it's there. It's also in some like very random kind of podunk towns in Virginia. I can't cite an example off the top of my head, but I remember looking and being like, they have 5G? What? But one way or another, like that's the thing that bums me out the most about this is I want to be able to use that, I think, you know, battery life notwithstanding, but I don't expect I'll be able to use it in Richmond for at least a year, maybe even two, which stinks. And is that Apple's fault? No. Should they hold it on account of it not being as available as we'd like? Well, certainly not. But it makes me sad about being an AT&T customer again for the first time in a while.
Well, the thing with network transitions is they're always this weird, slow, patchy process. And I think this shows an awareness of a couple things on Apple's part. One, like you guys talked about, getting in the door, I think a little bit on the early side is potentially beneficial. It shows that Apple recognizes the turnover rates for its devices and the people buying the iPhone 12s now will probably keep them for a couple of years, and that by the time 5G is available where they are, their phone will already support it, which is certainly feels like a benefit. That said, Stephen, your point was, it depends where you live, depends on your carrier, all this stuff, right? There are so many variables, and almost all of them are outside of Apple's control. Let's add a third variable on top of that. How many people are leaving their houses right now? How many people will be leaving their houses anytime in the near future? Yeah. Really, the 5G part is not going to matter to anybody for months, if not longer. And that is one reason that it's puzzling. They spent so much time on it yesterday. And even the people talking about it acknowledged, like, you know, someday you'll be in a stadium again and you'll be really excited that you've got 5G. And it's like, yeah, it's going to be a while, guys. I think Apple was trying to take this as an opportunity to educate people about what this means, but I feel like they might have slightly misread the room in terms of how much emphasis to give this right now. I think they could have gotten away with a much shorter spiel talking about, like, and it's got the latest great network standard, so when that starts fully getting deployed, you'll be able to take advantage of it. I think it could have basically left it at that. So I think it has the potential in 2 or 3 years from now, you know, we'll all be on 5G and we'll all be perfectly happy about it. We really won't be thinking about it. Everybody will be talking about 6G or whatever. And so I think that it's not the selling point I think anybody hoped it would be this year. And of course, they made these 5G plans well in the past. So they had no way of predicting that this is where we're going to be at this particular time. And I'm sure it's possible even that whatever deal they made with Verizon to have the person on stage was made, you know, a year ago or something. And so they were trapped into it. I don't know. I don't think it's something to get very excited about, but it is certainly a good box to check and feel like, well, at least my phone has 5G. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I got 5GE right now, says my phone, so who cares?
I don't even have that. I don't even have that much. Oh. I don't even have fake 5G. Yeah. The struggle, you guys. Yeah, I don't know. I think the bigger issue here is that right now, today, in this god-awful timeline, we're saying, oh, well, it's funny that AT&T isn't going to get 5G where I am in a year or two. But imagine if they hadn't put 5Gs in the... If they hadn't put 5G in these phones, then we'd all be saying, oh, come on, all of Android has it. What's wrong with Apple? Rah! You know, so in a way, I feel like they needed to avoid the talking heads like us, you know, whining and moaning about it and put it in, even if, you know, not that many people can use it yet.
Well, and if people hold onto their phones longer than the three of us do,
that's also true,
right? Mm-hmm. You are future proofed for a while, which is important too. And yeah, for early adopters, maybe we don't see the benefit, but it probably doesn't hurt us to have those radios in there either. Yeah. And so, yeah, I see why they felt they needed to do it. I agree with you. The Verizon stuff was a little heavy handed. I'd love to know what happened behind the scenes brought that to fruition. So let's talk about the 12 Pro and the 12 Pro Max. The 12 Pro has grown in size to match the size of the iPhone 12. So remember, in the current scheme, the 11 Pro is a little bit smaller than the 11. And so it's grown a little bit. And the 12 Pro Max has also grown a little bit. The form factors are, they said, close to the same size. They are slightly bigger if you compare the specs, but the screens have gotten a little bit bigger. Again, continue to bring down those bezels. And of course, not having the rounded sides means that the phones can be a little bit smaller as well. Casey, you mentioned this a second ago, but there are some camera differences between the 12 Pro and 12 Pro Max. The standard wide angle has a much better sensor. It has the better optical image stabilization. And then the telephoto lens is slightly tweaked as well with a slightly different focal point. And it can punch in instead of 2x, 2.5x. So some changes there. This is a playbook Apple used to use with the first Plus phones, 6 Plus, 6S Plus. There were some slight camera differences, and then the 7 Plus got two cameras, and that remained through the 8, and now it's changed again. And, you know, the last 2 years, the 10S Max and the 11 Pro Max, the camera systems, I believe, were basically the same between the two, and now it's different again. I guess they want people to feel like they're paying for something of that difference, or maybe this technology will filter down to the other phones next year, but this year it's only on the high end. As someone who has an 11 Pro, Casey in particular, do these camera changes, is that enough for you to overcome your dislike of an even bigger phone?
How much time do we have? So I have considered getting a bigger phone for more time than I have since. When did you say it was? The 7 that had the two lenses versus the 7 Plus had two lenses, the 7 did not. That was the first time that I really, really thought about it and decided, no, I just can't do it. This time I've thought about as long as I did then. And the reason is, most particularly, the increased size of the sensor on the default. What do they call the default one? You said it a second ago.
The wide angle.
Thank you. So not ultra wide, but wide. The increased sensor size on the wide angle lens is really appealing because I'm not a great photographer, but even I know the more space you have to accept light and to process that light, the better your pictures are going to be. And obviously the optical image stabilization will help, particularly since they're doing it on the sensor now. But more than anything else, I'm really interested in that bigger sensor. That being said, and I haven't held a big phone in a while, but the last time I held one, I was just actively repulsed by it. And I'm not saying that that's true for everyone, but I was just like, oh, no, this is not for me. And so that, again, outweighs my complete and utter lust for this new camera stuff. And I mean, certainly, and we talked about this on ATP, I think just this last week, my 11 Pro is the first iPhone that I personally have had where it's caused me to wonder if it's worth grabbing the quote unquote big camera. I have a Micro Four Thirds camera, which isn't physically that large, but it's considerably larger and more unwieldy than my iPhone. And the 11 Pro is the first time that I really don't feel driven or compelled to get my proper camera unless I'm doing like a portrait or I'm capturing a really special event or something like that. And I can only imagine that the 12 Pro, the one I plan to get, not the 12 Pro Max, I only imagine it's going to make it worse, better, depending on how you look at it in that way, and that my big camera is going to collect even more dust. So all told, I am super excited about the new camera system. I'm super excited to see if I ever do anything with Pro Raw. That's what they call it, right? Pro Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I don't typically shoot in Raw. I don't typically edit my photos very often, but this sounds like it may give a dunce like me the ability to do some like light tweaks after the fact without having to get in there and really be looking at histograms and all that jazz. But that's many words to say. I'm very sad that the big boy gets the better camera, but I'm not entirely surprised, and it is not enough to convince me. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, to me, the size is just too big to even consider it. Exactly. I don't care for the large phone. I understand the appeal, and I'm glad that the people who value that can have it. But I am also not someone who takes enough pictures that I feel like even the sensor sways me that much. I love the idea of it. I think it probably will trickle down to some extent into the smaller Pro phone next year, and at least some of those improvements will. But at the same time, I think that Apple worked hard here again to try and minimize, or at least very, you know, I was gonna say focus in on. I'm just gonna say it on the you know on delineating what the differences are here, so it doesn't feel entirely arbitrary, but at the same time, people who know what they're looking for can say like, "Oh, I very clearly want that bigger sensor. I'm gonna get the larger phone." So yeah, I think that the 12 Pro for me still hits the sweet spot, and that someone's coming from an 11 Pro, I getting most of those features. But without, you know, feeling like I have to compromise how large the phone is. And like, you know, we both talked about before, Casey, like the 12 mini size is appealing. And so it is interesting to see how Apple has formulated this lineup to try and position these devices to appeal to distinct groups of people. Because I do feel like though there are clear lines between a lot of the models, there's some shifting that can happen in there depending on how much you value these things. I, you know, we talked about people coming and asking us about phones, which I had the other day, and somebody, you know, a friend asked me about, oh, which of these phones should I get? Tell me which one to buy. And it's like, well, do you care about size, price, or cameras? Because that's basically what it comes down to.
Yeah, that's a good summary. Now, Stephen, you've flirted many times in the past with the big phones. What is your plan for this year?
Yeah, so I carried a Plus phone. And then I did the 10S Max and ended up switching to the 10S. I had a family member who needed a phone. I settled on my Max. And that was really because it was too big. But I think this time, because the wide angle lets in so much more light, which is not only great for low light, but like indoors is where most people shoot low light photos. I think I'm going to go with the Max and just sort of deal with the bigger size. I'm not super pumped about that, and I'm still on the fence a little bit, but I really would like the best iPhone camera that's out there. So that's the plan.
Yeah, it's so tough. It's so tough. And, you know, it's funny. A friend of mine said to me just yesterday, one of the interesting things about a big phone is that it causes him to use his phone less because you can't really use it one-handed. And there's a little that thought technology was new to me, and a little part of me was like, you know, that would probably be healthy for me, and I would get the good camera. I don't know, maybe I should get the big one. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's too big.
I just don't know where you keep it. God, exactly. Getting it out of the pocket, you just seems like a ordeal to me.
Mm-hmm. Decisions.
Being in the upgrade program, it's like it's now the de facto assumption for me every year. It's like, well, I'm an idiot if I don't buy a new phone because I might as well upgrade.
Right. Now, what about colors? So it sounds like we're all going pro. What colors do you guys intend for?
I'm sad that the midnight green is no longer an option, but I went with blue just because I've only ever really had a black phone with space gray, black, whatever. And I like that just fine, but I, you know, blue and green are both colors I like, so I feel like why not mix it up? And again, when you only own a phone for a year, I feel like I can afford to take a chance on something. I'm going down in size this year too, because I had a 256, because last year I think it was 64 or 256, and I was like, 64 is too small. 256 is more than I need, but that's, I got to buy it because I can't get a 64. Mm-hmm. And this year I'm like, ooh, 128. So I looked at my storage. I was like, I'm only at about 100. And if I offload a bunch of apps I don't use, I'm only about 60. That sounds fine. So a cheaper phone is a great deal.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I also got the midnight green. And I mean, I like green in general, but I really enjoy this midnight green. So much so that I run it without a case, which cost me a back glass on literally the day I bought it. Let's not get into that. But nevertheless, I am a very big fan of blue in general. And this specific blue looks super good. Although I will agree, I think it was Dan that said this earlier, but whoever said that the blue on the 12, it's like a brighter, louder blue. I really like that a lot as well. And if I had the choice between the two of them, I'd probably choose that brighter, louder blue. But I am still super duper amped over the specific blue. This is what I wish I had had for the 11, you know, because it seems like it's a similar kind of muted blue in the same way the midnight green or whatever it was called was a muted green. So I am really excited for this one, and we'll see if I end up putting a case on it because I've learned from my mistakes or not. What about you, Stephen?
Yeah, I usually alternate colors. I didn't do midnight green. My current 11 Pro is the space gray, now graphite, which is a much better name because space isn't gray, and they changed it every 3 days. Like, yeah, what space gray meant.
So true.
But I think I'm going to do silver this time because I really like raw stainless steel, and I think that those side bands are going to look dope in stainless steel.
I'm excited though. I'm really, really pumped to get this new phone. In no small part, actually, we didn't talk about this, but what is the name of that new special Corning glass? I can never remember the marketing names for anything.
Ceramic, what do they call it? Ceramic shield. Ceramic shield.
Yeah. Ceramic shield.
Yeah, because I was lamenting on ATP last week. I'm sure it was user error some way, somehow, but this 11 Pro, the front glass, has been scratched to kingdom come.
You know what? My co-host Lex Friedman was saying the same thing the other day on his 11 Pro, and I think it's because they formulated it, it's softer, so it shatters less, but it scratches more easily, which is kind of the trade-off that you get, right, depending on how hard you make the glass. So I'm intrigued to see it. I mean, I wish they had felt confident enough to actually, like, maybe do some demos of, like, here, let me hurl this phone at the ground and see what happens. But I understand when in a pre-tape thing, that's never going to be quite as convincing as on a live stage. But yeah, anything that makes phones less breakable and last longer, I think, is something that consumers appreciate, even if it seems like it's in Apple's worst interest.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Cool. Well, I appreciate y'all joining me today. You guys can go go dream about pre-ordering iPhones now.
Mm-hmm. And we're getting it at the good time again, the East Coast friendly time, which is the second year in a row, I believe.
So happy. Mm-hmm. So happy.
And if you do a regular 12 or 12 Pro, you get to pre-order it this Friday. And if you're doing a mini or a max, you have to wait, which is
another benefit.
Kind of a bummer.